Amen. Thank you, worship team. So, hey, just before we get started into our sermon series, I'm just going to invite my new friend Jen up. She's got something here that she wanted to present, and there's a little story behind this. So, Jen, I'm going to get you to tell us the story. Yes, come on. You get to be on the spotlight here for a second. She doesn't like the spotlight, but that's okay. Jen, why don't you tell us a little bit of what you got here?
After last week's sermon, I got, motivation, inspiration, whatever you want to call it. I'm a painter. I paint from the heart. And last service really resonated with me, so I made this for the church.
Right on. And what have you, wow. Look at that. Hey, didn't we just sing a song just about that? Thank you so much, Jen. Isn't that beautiful? So Jen is so brand new to our church. She just started coming in the last few months, and she is a wonderful, wonderful artist. And man, I wonder if this will sit right here while I preach this morning here. Hopefully I don't knock it down with all my rocking and rolling. And but I just love how there's so many expressions of worship. Right? And that is an expression of worship, Jen. It's beautiful and stuff. And she's painted another picture, and she gave it to Mulaney, and I kind of stole it. Because I thought, man, it would look so nice in my office. But I think we've got to share this one with the whole congregation, right? So, hey, we're glad that you're here. And we celebrate how people worship God. Amen? It's in a variety of different ways, right? So good, so good. Well, we're here, and we're glad that you're here. And just a little plug in there for you. If you don't know, online, we have a wonderful website that should be easy to navigate, whether you're on a computer or a mobile device, and it's abundantlifechapel.ca. And on there, there's a little link. If you go to the menu part, there's a little link, or you can scroll right down to the bottom, and there's a little thing that says sermons. If you click on those sermons, you can get all of our sermons that we record. Now, we've only gone back a couple of series. That's fine. But we have posted our sermons, and we are posting our sermons online so that anybody can listen to them at any time or any place on your portable device. Now, we are still burning CDs so that if you need a CD still, we can get one to you. But for some of you that you've kind of upgraded to the playing things digitally, we've made that accessible. And I apologize, snowbirds that have just flown back from the south. Listen, it'll be up and running for sure. I guarantee you by the time you get back down again. But we're glad that you're here. And with that, we've got kind of some sad news because we've got a family in our church that's going to be leaving us soon. The Toms are going to be, Vic and Alma are going to be leaving us, and before they do, we're going to have a proper send-off for this family who has invested so much into our church family. Don't start crying, because you're going to get me all crying here, and we just love them very much, and but we're not giving up Kathy and Terry to Winnipeg just yet. Just so you know. Just kidding. Anyways, we're glad that you're here. Why don't I just get to the message? Is that what you, yeah, why don't we just get right there? Man, if they've already pressed record, we're in big trouble. All right. Hey, we're in our final week of our series called Money Sense. And in this series, we've been looking at how to manage our resources in a way that can honor God and at the same time change our lives. And today is our final week. We're wrapping it up. Now, if you, like I said before, our messages are online. You can get this series. You can hear it online and that if you've missed any of the steps along the way. But I hope that you enjoy it. But before we get any further, I want to share this this humorous story. A farmer called the church office asking to see the head hog at the trough. In which the church secretary replied, sir, if you're referring to our beloved pastor, I ask that you would show a little more respect by calling him Reverend or pastor. Calling him head hog at the trough is very inappropriate. Well, all right, said the farmer. He says, I just sold some sows and I was going to donate $10,000 to the church and was hoping to catch them. Oh, just wait a minute, sir, the receptionist says. I think I heard the little porker just come in. Mulaney or Julie would never call me a porker, would you? Not to my face. Yeah. That's right. Well, hey, Clive Pick in his book, Revelation of Financial Renewal, said this, that the tithe will protect you financially, your integrity will position you financially, and your offerings will increase you financially. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. He says, give and it'll be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, generosity starts with giving God what's God's, what's rightfully God's, right? Now, he owns all of our income, but he's saying, hey, listen, all I require back is 10%. And we went into a wonderful conversation last week talking about the tithe. If you missed it last week, it's online. It's under the title, Giving is Good. But generosity's got to start with giving God's what's rightfully his. But biblical generosity doesn't just stop with the tithes. There's something else called the offerings, or I'd like to call it the over and above. The tithe is a requirement, but the offerings is over and above. In church, we seem to have a little bit of our own unique vocabulary, and maybe you've heard it. We call it Christianese. We call it sowing and reaping, right? Sowing and reaping, and the idea of sowing and reaping is you cannot receive something you haven't already given. Hence, the give, and it will be given to you. Now, the big idea applies to many aspects of our life, not just the area of our finances. Luke chapter 37, right? Just before 38 there, it says this, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And then that's for the measure you give, right? It'll be given. Well, when we give what's beyond what's required in this area of finances, right? The tithe, that opens us up for a financial increase. But, and I'm going to borrow a one-liner here from one of my favorite pastors that I like to listen to, Pastor Greg Groeschel from Life Church. For any of those that have the Bible app on your phone, right, the YouVersion Bible app, guess what church that comes from? Pastor Craig's church down in the States, Life Church. That Bible app is called YouVersion. And that's a product of Life Church, that they felt that they wanted to get the Bible out to all people. And this is what he says, this one-liner. He says, what you keep is all you have. What you give, God multiplies. I want to tackle this topic very carefully, as there's been some liberties taken on this subject that are just kind of a little out there. There's been some teaching out there called the prosperity gospel, and it can come across in a very manipulative way, and I hate it that they've taken that name, prosperity gospel, because I believe that we as Christians should be prosperous, right? But it goes beyond just money, right? And it's not about the prosperity gospel, and I can't emphasize this enough, that prosperity is like you give and you give expecting back, right? See, we don't give to get. We give to see the work of God, or God's kingdom work on earth continue. That's why we give. We don't give to get. We give to see God's kingdom work on earth continue. Prosperity is this. Prosperity is this in the church. Having enough money to do the will of God. To do the will of God. And so when we give, right, it's important to have that mentality. We don't give to get. Now, there's also a flip side to that. Instead of the prosperity gospel mentality, there's also the poverty gospel mentality. And this mindset believes that if you have anything of value, like a big house or drive a new vehicle or have multiple vehicles, wear designer clothing, have the latest and greatest technology, go on vacations, I mean, you can fill in the blanks there, then obviously you have a love for money. That's what this mentality believes, is that if you have stuff, well, obviously you have a love for money and you are a slave to it. Our righteousness is not measured by what we have or don't have, all right? But it is measured upon the condition of what? Our heart. Our heart. It's not wrong to have money or nice things as long as the money and the nice things don't have you or don't own you. I love what Paul, a first century follower of Jesus, said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. And I've seen this verse misquoted so many times. And it's amazing how you take a one word and it can mean a whole different story. All right, let me just throw it up there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs," right? Now, money is not the root of all evil, right? But the love of money is. And some people have misquoted this. They've taken love out of there. And they said, money is the root of all evil. It's not. It's the love of money, right? All of us have the capacity of being faithful, generous, and godly, regardless of our financial status, really. And listen, you don't have to be wealthy to have an unhealthy love affair with money. Let me say that. You don't have to be wealthy to have an unhealthy love affair with money. The principle behind giving over and above, or sowing and reaping, is this: what you keep is is all you'll have. What you give, God multiplies. Now, Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, "Give and it will be given to you." Give and it'll be given to you. Okay, I'm going to do something really out of the box. I usually do this when I'm speaking to youth, but I need two volunteers, two brave volunteers. Come on, come on. Who's going to come this morning? I need two. You don't want me to pick, all right? What? It can be youth, but it would be fun if it wasn't. Terry, why don't you come on up? Yeah, Terry. Yeah, Terry. And I'm going to pick on Sean because you're in the front row. Okay. Okay, so we're gonna have a little fun with this, and Terry, because I picked you first, I'm gonna make you the guy. All right, so you're gonna stand here, and you're gonna stand there, Sean. And look at this, I'm pulling out my wallet. Now, aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Yeah. All right, so there you go. So what I want you to empty. How do you know? You haven't looked inside. So what I want you to do is I want you to do this. I want you to hold your hands out as if you're to receive something, just like that. Right now, look at this. Easy to put something in there, right? Easy to put something in there. So, you know, Terry, what I think I'm just going to give you this, and I'm going to give you this. And look at that. He's able to receive because his hands are open. Now, Sean over here, he's over here, and he's like, "Where's my money?" Well, listen, I ain't giving you money, sucker. No way. You're not getting any money from me today. You know what? The only way you're going to get money is if Terry gives it to you. So Terry, I want you to give the money. So you got it, but you got to hold out your hand. So I want you to go and put your money, this money that you have, and put it in his hands.
I want to give it back.
I know, no. So I want you to put it in his hands. All right. Now, Terry, you're coming back here, and your hands are still open. What does that mean? Well, he could still receive more. Oh, we'll just throw another one on there, and we'll throw another one on here. Just because, man, I'm so proud of you, my well done, good and faithful servant. Now,
who gave you this money?
I know. I took it over the offering earlier. No, just kidding. I had my hands open. No, just kidding. Just kidding. For all you guys that are watching this online, I'm kidding. All right. Anyways, so you see what happens. Okay, now we're going to try something different now. Okay, I take the money. Now, okay, now Terry, I'm going to give you money, right? But this time, I want you to grip that money as if you're not going to let it go. Nobody's going to rip it from your hands. You're going to hold that money. You're going to just hold that, right? And that's, yeah, no, you can't put it in your pocket. You got to hold it, right? But now your hands are open, but his, now don't rip the money, but try and take it from him. It's not coming, right? It's not coming, all right? Now, but Terry, I want to try and give you more money. No, your hands are closed, man. No, your hands are closed. See, I want to try and give you more money, but what's happening? The money's falling down, right? All right, thanks, guys. Yeah, not in your life, guy. That's got to go somewhere. That's God's money. But I want to tell you, and I'm not flashing this money just to show off. I want to give you, I want to tell you something. See, what happens, so when we have our hands open and we freely give, right, we can freely receive, right? We can receive. But when our hands are clenched, when we're like, oh, man, I got a hold of this money. Nobody else is going to grab this money. What happens is more can't come in. More can't come in. When it comes to generosity, this is how we do it. Money comes, money goes. Money comes, money goes. Money comes, money goes. And it just continues to flow. It continues to flow. But when we have our hands closed and we're trying to do it on our own, then the tap gets turned off. And then you know what will happen? Is the guy that's here with his hands open is the one that starts receiving, and then he starts giving, and he starts giving, right? You see, what you keep is all you have. What you keep is all you have. What you give, God multiplies. He multiplies. And it's kind of like that. It's that whole thing. It's give and it will be given to you part. Now that's where we get it from. Now that we've kind of got that in our minds, right? Give and it'll be given to you, right? Listen, there's this whole part here that says, well, what about this a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over part? What does that all mean? Have you ever wondered where that originated? Well, Jesus would have been talking to a farming community when it was a common practice for landowners to hire day laborers to collect in the harvest. Now, they would do this with large baskets, right? They would go in the field and they'd pick the wheat and the grain and they'd put it into the basket. And then they'd have to, when it got full, they'd have to lug it across the field, dump it, and go out into the field and fill it again. Well, these harvesters understood that, man, you know, it is a lot of hard work to haul that. So if I only fill it half full or three quarters full, it's much easier and I can be more efficient and not have to waste a whole bunch of energy and I can do more, right? And that. But as the end of the day came, right? As the end of the day came, or the end of the week would come, a generous landowner would often pay his laborers, right, with wheat or grain. So you know what they would do? They wouldn't fill it half full or three quarters full. They would make sure that that thing was full. And I mean, they would push it down so they could stack more in, push it down, stack more in until it was almost overflowing. Overflowing. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. They understood this. The people that Jesus was talking about understood this. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you own a farm, right? Or if you have a harvest and you do that, right? So I'm gonna kind of take Jesus a tip from Jesus in teaching this morning. How many like to eat? Anybody like to eat? All right, you've gone to buffets. You love to eat. I mean, and how many when you go to a buffet, right? You want to get your money's worth. Maybe even more than your money's worth. You know, you go to the Yee's buffet, and I think it's like, yes, 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 bless me, more, yes, right? Well, I don't know if you've ever been to Mongo's Grill. Anybody been to Mongo's? Now, I like going to Mongo's. Mongo's, for some of you that have never been there, it's a stir-fry place. And stir-fry is beautiful. They got all the materials you need to make a beautiful stir-fry. So vegetables and meat and noodles and all that kind of stuff. It's fantastic. You go there on your birthday, it's free. Whoa, can't ask for better than that. But listen, when you go there, there's a little bit of an art because all they do is they give you this bowl. And you got to make this bowl really do some wonders for you, right? So what you do is you start off with some vegetables. Put some vegetables in there. That's good. Well, now you got to go grab the meat. Now, the meat, they've strategically put it in fillets, which is beautiful. You get some steak or some pork or some chicken, and you line the sides, and you build up the sides of that bowl, right, to make it extra deeper, all right? And then nobody likes to put sauce on a whole bunch of noodles and it all runs over. So you put your sauces and your spices in next, right? And then after you have made this bowl of matrosity, you fill it and load it with as many noodles as you can. No word of a lie. I've had my bowl stand up about that high. That high. I mean, the edge of the bowl is only like down here and I'm up there. And whenever I come and bring it, they're like, oh boy. Like, if only there was a prize. If only there was a prize. Come on, are you catching a good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over this morning? Yes. Now, listen, with our time remaining, I want to lay a foundation for giving over and above, or sowing and reaping, as you will, by analyzing what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. But before we go there, I want to share with you two principles to remember when it comes to giving. And this is it. Number one principle is you reap what you sow. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. So whether that's financial, whether that's an attitude, whether that's in actions, whether that's any area of our life, right? Whatever you reap, or whatever you reap is what you've sown beforehand. And this applies to just so much more than our finances. You know, it's our actions, attitudes, choices, treatment of others, words. It's all encompassing, right? You can't sow an apple seed and expect a pear tree, right? You sow an apple seed, an apple tree is what you're going to get. Now, the other thing is that the other principle is you reap more than you sow. You reap more than you sow. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talked about a farmer who goes out into the field and he sows the seed. Now, some of it falls on different kinds of soil, but when that seed fell on fertile soil, I mean good soil, right? That seed produced a crop of 30, 60, even 100 times as much than had been planted, right? What you keep is all you have. What you give, God multiplies. Now, the first foundational block as we are looking at this of giving over and above, that first foundation is the heart matters. The heart matters, right? The attitude of our heart matters when it comes to giving over and above. Paul, a first century follower of Jesus, said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. He says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Right? Basically, Paul is saying here, you get what you pay for. Right? You're going to get what you pay for. If you're only giving a little, don't expect a lot in return. You don't reap what you don't sow. Plant a lot of seeds and you'll get a better harvest. And then Paul nails it on the head of what our attitude should be in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. He says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a what? Cheerful giver. Now, have you ever looked at ever gone to the Greek? Like, you've ever gone to the Greek and thought, oh, I wonder what that word means in the Greek, because the New Testament was written in the original language. It was written in Greek, right? And so when you say, you know, you look at the Bible and say, it's all Greek to me, well, you're right, right? That's only the New Testament, not the Old Testament. But listen here for a second. This is the word cheerful. When you look at it in the Greek, it comes out as hilaros. Wow, that sounds like an English word, like hilarious. That's where we get hilarious from. So what is God saying? I love a hilarious giver. That's what he's saying. God loves a hilarious giver. A hilarious giver. Now, think about this for a second, right? Now, let me just reach. Oh, did I not put it in my pocket? Oh, I forgot. Anyways, I had another sermon illustration. But let's say, okay, so a father, he gives his son $5, And I was supposed to have a loony here. I apologize. I somehow have lost the loony. Has anybody got a loony? I want to just show you something with this. Yeah, this is kind of awkward. Pastor Moneybags here doesn't even have a loony. There we go. We got a loony. Mine now. So the father, he wants to teach his son about giving, right? And so he goes up to his son and he says, son, I'm going to give you $5. I want you to hold this, Phil, $5. And then this one as well. So you have to, yeah, there you go. You got two hands. There we go. All right. I think you got two. Yeah, you got two hands. All right. Not a third one there? No, just kidding. So he gives this his son $5 and a $1. And he says, son, I want you to decide which to give in the offering plate. So the offering plate comes around, right? And you can imagine, because the son is kind of, wow, the five or the one? And he you can see the wheels turning. Well, finally, he puts the one in the offering bag and keeps the five for himself. You can't keep that, that's mine. But he puts the $1 in, but he's got the five. And afterwards, you know, the father's just glad that he gave something, right? Because he's got this. He's figured it out. In fact, he gave more than 10%. He gave 20% by giving the $1, right? And it was really cool. And so he says, son, that was so good. That was so good. He says, I'm curious. How did you decide what to give? And the son replies, he says, well, the preacher did say God loves a cheerful giver, and I knew I'd be more cheerful if I had the five rather than the one. Right? Well, that's it. That's it. So, you know, it comes down to that, and it's so funny. It's so funny. But I tell you, it's a funny story for some of us, right? But for some of us, it's quite the truth of how we treat our money. Right? It's quite truthful, right? We'll give a little bit, but we'll keep a lot. And to be honest, I gotta tell you, I had to get over this mindset as well. I had to get over this mindset. I believe with all my heart that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And God has shown me that in my life. I want to just share it with you. Several years ago, I mean, I had always been the recipient of a hand-me-down barbecue. All right. For most, pretty much all of our married life, I got like barbecues given to me. And I was like, you know what? For once, I want to buy a brand new grill. Right. We need the man grill. Right. And so I thought, well, I'm not just going to buy any type of grill. I'm going for the Cadillac. Right. And I'm going to save hard and work hard. And I'm going to buy either a Weber or a Broil King. Right. And I mean, like, those are expensive grills. Right. And so I'm putting money faithfully aside. And I remember one time I was at the bank machine. I'd just gotten paid, so I was transferring over to my savings. And I thought, oh, man, I'm so close to pulling the trigger on a purchase. And I was going to get this awesome barbecue grill. And then all of a sudden, God spoke to me. Now, when I say that, it wasn't like I heard, James. This is your heavenly father speaking. No, it doesn't happen like that. You know how it happens? And I'll tell you this. If you've ever wondered how God speaks, I'll tell you this. Sometimes it'll just be a thought that enters your mind. And you know it's his thought that he's planted there because it really lines up with God's word. But any thought that comes into your mind that is contrary to God's word, then you know that that's not of God. And I knew it was of God because he was talking about generosity. And God has a lot to say about money in the Bible, all right? And so he just asked a question. This is how it was. He says, James, do you love me more than you love that barbecue that you're saving up for? You know where this is going. And then I'm like, God, that's not a fair question. Of course I love you. I was like Peter, right? Of course I love you. I love you more than anything. And God says, okay. That's where the conversation ended. I was like, okay, well, fine, whatever. A few days later, same thing. James, do you love me more than this barbecue that you're saving up for? Yes, God. It was like, it was almost like the Peter, when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, it was like three times he asked me. I was like, okay, God, I'm listening now. He says, James, would you be willing to sow that money into someone else? Oh, Now listen, people, I'm not talking about a $150 grill from Walmart. Can I be honest? Can I be totally honest? Please don't judge me. This was about a $700 or $800, maybe even a $900 grill I was saving up for. And it had taken me a long time to save up that kind of money. So this was a lot of money, people. And I was like, okay, God, if that's what you want, absolutely. Absolutely. So a friend of mine, he'd gone in for a liver transplant. And he had just walked out of the hospital. And I saw it on Facebook. And I was like, yeah, that's great. That's awesome. And I had just acquired some concert tickets to a band that, you know, I had kind of wanted to see live. And I'd acquired these tickets and all that. And wouldn't you know it, when Dave was walking out of the hospital, he had the shirt of the band on him. And I knew right there. I thought, oh, okay, I get it, God. I'm just supposed to give him my concert tickets. Great, no problem. Woohoo, I can do that. And God said, no, get him there. Oh, okay. So I called up Dave and I said, hey, Dave, I got some concert tickets for you. He says, what? I got some concert tickets for you. Oh, dude, that's awesome. I said, but Dave, I want to get you there too. Now, if you drive to where the concert is, I'll pay for everything. I'll pay for your travel. I'll get you a night in a hotel, everything. But I understand that you just had surgery, so probably the best thing for you would be for you is to fly. He says, yeah, it would be. I said, good. Let me know when you want to leave and when you want to come back and where you want your seats, and I'll pick them out. I got them the best seats on the plane. I didn't spare any expense. I pretty much spent the whole enchilada on getting them to this concert. Now, you might be thinking, Pastor, a concert? Let me tell you something. This was the last trip that Dave had with his wife that was a memorable one. See, this happened in June. Dave died in November. He succumbed to cancer again. It came back and took his life. And I remember standing at his hospital bed, him hardly able to talk, and said, thank you. Thank you, James, for sowing into our marriage at this time. I was my most healthiest then, and other friends, I didn't realize this till later, the other friends actually provided them a room in a wonderful 5-star hotel. They had a wonderful, wonderful time. Why do I tell you this? Because I'll tell you, I fought the temptations of being a grumpy giver. I did. And you know what? I somehow thought that when I gave of that money that God would just miraculously bless me with a brand new grill. I thought it was just going to happen. I thought, hey, that's how God works. And he did. About a year later or so. Because today I have my dream grill. But you know what? That grill doesn't bring me nearly as much satisfaction as what I was able to do for Dave and his wife. And every time I look at that grill, I'm reminded of what I was able to do. It's more blessed to give than to receive, right? It's more, but what we need to understand is that I had to fight, and you will fight, temptations of being a grumpy giver. We have to make sure that we're a hilarious giver, because God loves to bless a person who's cheerful. And I had to choose. I'll tell you, I had to choose daily to be a good giver. The heart matters when it comes to giving. It does. Number two, you can't outgive God. It just ain't going to happen. You can never outgive God, right? In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 8 and 9, it says, and God is able to do, or to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, this again is a metaphor of sowing seed. He is giving gifts. What seeds do you have to give? right? Do you have your time to give? Now, we're talking about over and above. We're not talking about the tithe here. We're talking over and above. What more can I give? Maybe it's my time. Maybe it's my service. Maybe it's my words. Maybe it's the things I have. Maybe it's a financial blessing. He's given us seeds, right? He's given us seeds for a purpose. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. And then verse 10, he goes on. Now he supplies seed to the sower, and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. See, what you keep is all you have. What you give, God multiplies. When you sow generously, you will reap generously, and he will increase your seed. Just as we saw before, as Terry gave to Sean, right? His hands were still open, and God blessed him. Now, I just played God, right? I wasn't God, all right? Right? His hands were able to give. Right? Now, I'm not saying that you have to give everything that you have, but I'm saying that give as God is revealing to you in your heart. Maybe some days he's saying, go for it all, sow it all. Or maybe he'll be saying, hey, just sow this, just sow that. I'm not talking about the tithe here, people. Paul is not talking about the tithe. He's talking about the over and above. He's talking about the offering, the over and above. And God will increase. Just as he provides for us, we provide for others. God will also continue to provide. And when you sow generously, you'll reap generously, and he will increase your seed. You will have more seed to give. And here's what he'll do. He will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Now check this out. It's not he's going to make you monetarily rich. He is going to make us more like him. He is going to enlarge the harvest of our righteousness, and we're going to become more like God. How does that work? God so loved the world that he what? Gave. That he gave. He taught us how to give. And what did he give? His one and only son. He gave all that he had for us. So he's not asking us to do something that he hasn't already done. Right? And we emulate the heart of God when we give. Now, our God is a generous God, and we as his children reveal God, or the God we serve, when we give. Now, as a result, now this is so beautiful. I love this. As a result, foundation number three, people will thank God because we gave. People will thank God because we gave. Can I tell you how Abundant Life did this? Oh, I'm so excited to tell you this. There's some expenses for Adult Teen Challenge to come. And they were talking around the table, and there wasn't really any funding to cover expenses. And so Adult and Teen Challenge is maybe going to cover this on their own or find some private donors. And I thought, that just doesn't make sense that we get private donors from a different community to sow in so that they can come here and bless our community. So I brought it back to our board and said, hey, listen, do you think we could cover their expenses? Yes. A resounding yes. So it was so beautiful to go back to that table and say, you know what? Abundant Life Chapel's got those expenses. Don't worry about it. We'll work it out with Teen Challenge. I'll tell you, that was more of a testimony than me just sharing around the table talking about Jesus. Because I was doing something. Now they're ready for me to talk about Jesus. Now they're ready because why? We sowed a seed into our community. And now the ears are open because we're filling a need. That's how he's increasing our harvest because we give. And we give faithfully. And people will thank us. They won't thank us. They will thank God because we gave. Right? In verse 9, 11, it says, you will be rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Wouldn't that be cool that whenever there was a need, we could be generous? Anytime a missionary needed something, we could provide. Wouldn't it be cool if every time somebody in our community was in need, we could provide, right? You can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. People, let's give Lac to Bonnie something to talk about. Let's give them something to talk about. And listen, this whole "you made me," you will be rich. Please don't limit that to finances. God makes us rich in every way. In every way, not just financially, rich in every way. It can be in our relationships, in our marriages, in our families, with our coworkers, our neighbors, every way. It can be our children, the way they're being raised and how they turn out and how they become generous and how they start living for God and serving Him faithfully. It can manifest in any way, in every way. And to think people will thank God because of our generosity. When you sow seed, God will give you more seed, and you can either keep it, and if you do, that's all you'll have. But if you give it away, He will what? He will increase your harvest. What's a soul worth to you? What's a soul worth to you? We had 6 people this year alone give their lives to Jesus Christ. 6 people. Oh, come on, yeah. 6 people already this year gave their lives to Jesus Christ. I'm just believing there's going to be so much more. So much more. I think in our entire time that we've been here, 21 people have given their lives to Jesus Christ in the last not even 5 years. 21 people. I want to tell you something, people. When you give to Abundant Life, you're giving to the kingdom, and those souls are part of your celebration. They are your celebration. What's a soul worth? What's a changed life worth? What's a transformed life worth? And this is all possible because the people of Abundant Life are committed to kingdom work. What was really neat is a couple of those souls gave their lives to Jesus Christ at the gathering, at the youth retreat. So cool. All of those that filled this room that Sunday when the youth were doing the soup and pie thing, when you sowed into that, those 2 souls are part of your harvest. And we're thanking God for you. We're thanking God for you. Why? Because we sowed over and above. Sowing and reaping. How does it feel to know that we're making a difference? How does it feel to know that we're doing something? How does it feel that you played a crucial role in these souls coming to Jesus? Doesn't that just feel good? Doesn't that just feel good? We're not just putting on programs, people. We're not just investing in a building, people. We're investing in people. We're investing in lives. And we're seeing God's kingdom work continue and lives transformed. Lives transformed. Souls are coming to Jesus Christ. Sure sounds like a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, doesn't it? What you keep is all you'll have. What you give, God multiplies. 2 quick quotes, and then 1 little thing to give you as we close. Winston Churchill said this: "We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give." And Frank, no one has ever become poor by giving. No one has ever become poor by giving. And last, there's 3 kinds of givers. I read this somewhere. There's 3 kinds of givers: the flint, the sponge, and the honeycomb. To get anything out of a flint, you must hammer it, right? And then all you get is chips and sparks. Chips and sparks is all you'll get. To get water from a sponge, you must squeeze it and wring it out and apply pressure. And the more pressure you apply, the more you'll get. But the honeycomb just overflows with its own sweetness. The question I want to leave you with is, what kind of giver are you? What kind of giver are you? I'm going to invite our worship team to come up. I believe that God is calling us in such a time as this to do something radical. Do something radical. You know, look at this picture. That's a picture of faith. Stepping out of the boat. The step of faith. Step in faith. There it is. It's right there. It's step in faith. How many of you would like to walk on water someday? Wouldn't you like to walk on water Do you know what's first required? You got to first get out of the boat. It's a great book. That doesn't require faith. But I'll tell you, what does require faith is when that water is wavy, that water is scary. And for some of us, to step out into generosity, that's what it's going to feel like and that's what it's going to look like. But I'll tell you something. Like that barbecue was talking about. You know what? I gotta change the burners in it. See, the joy of that thing will only last for so long. My vacation that I'm saving up for will only last for so long. The car that I saved up for so long will only bring me joy for so long. That bedroom sweat, that suite, that couch, that TV, that will only bring me joy for so long. But when I'm investing in the kingdom of God, oh boy, that joy keeps on going and going. You know what God challenged me with when I wrote that story? See, that was several years ago I did that. God's been challenging me, saying, James, it's time for another story. It's time for another story. Because James, that one's getting old. Can't live on yesterday's stories. It's time to create some new ones. Maybe God's doing that to you today. I want to encourage you. Step by faith. Step by faith. Let us pray. Stand unto your feet. Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, I pray that nobody leaves here discouraged, that nobody leaves here angry or frustrated. But Lord, if there be any emotion in that area, I pray that it only be conviction. Conviction. But Lord, you know where we stand financially. You know where we're at. You know our income, and you know where the blessing and the harvest is coming from even before we sow. And so, God, I pray that you would start having conversations with us, placing a thought in our mind, and us dialoguing with you. God, I pray that people would be wise and start planning their generosity. Not being reckless with it when there's already some things to look after. Our children still need to be fed. But Lord, I believe that there's some things in our lives that we've got so much access in. There's so much excess in our lives that maybe we need to start cutting back. So reveal that to us, God. Lord, I just believe that there is something breaking in our minds and in our hearts. There's going to be something break, and I believe that it is going to be the generosity of this church that's going to build a building that will not only fulfill the needs of this church, but beyond. And that people will thank God for us because we gave and gave freely, not reluctantly or under compulsion, but hilariously. So God, we thank you for this in Jesus' holy name.